Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for, as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Like me, many of you maybe dealt with a bad cold this past season. And I know in my case it got so bad that one day I went into the doctor. And the doctor put a stethoscope on my back and asked me to breathe deeply to hear what was going on in my lungs. And it's interesting when a doctor does that to you that at that moment you're very conscious of your breath. You're very conscious of the fact that you are breathing. And yet it's something, of course, we're doing all the time, and we don't even think about it, at least I don't. Rarely do I think about breathing, but at that moment in a doctor's office, you really do concentrate on it. The physical life that God puts inside of our bodies, the physical nature and the fact that life is moving in us is something that we kind of just take for granted because it's who we are, and it's just there. It's just inside of us until maybe for some reason we have to stop and really think about it and be more aware of it. The same is true when it comes to our spiritual life as believers in Christ. The spiritual life that God the Holy Spirit has worked inside of us is causing an activity to take place in us constantly that maybe we don't think about as frequently as we should. I know I don't. And to even appreciate what that activity is doing inside of us. God invites and lovingly commands us to pray to him. And I know for myself, there are times when I'm very focused on praying and thinking about that, not as often as I should. But and at that moment, I'm very thoughtful of what that gift is and what that activity is that God puts in our hearts. But the text before us tells it that the Holy Spirit is working that inside of the believer even when he or she is not aware of it. It's something that is just a natural byproduct and benefit of the blessing of faith that we've been given, this churning activity that's just taking place inside of the heart of the believer, sending our requests up and petitions to God. Paul is reminding us here of the wonderful benefits of being believers in Christ. The whole book of Romans is just such a testimony to that. And in this particular area now, he's talking about the gift of prayer. Now, prayer is a wonderful blessing and an expensive, very expensive gift that God has given us. Not to you and me, it didn't cost us anything. But it was paid for, not with gold or silver, but with the holy precious blood of the Son of God, his innocent suffering and death. His willingness to feel all of God's wrath and justice for my weaknesses and sins and yours too when he went to the cross and feel that torture from God, that was the cost and the expense of this gift of prayer that you and I now get to utilize even when we're not even aware of it. On that Good Friday when our Lord Jesus died, God gave us a beautiful symbol of what takes place with prayer. The curtain of the temple is suddenly ripped in half and torn in two. And now there is direct access and peace with God through Christ. St. Paul wrote this earlier in his letter to the Romans. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And so every time we hear that read in the Lenten readings about the ripping apart of the curtain, it's a good reminder to us of the gift of prayer, the fact that because of what Christ has done to do away with the wall of sin between us and God, we now have direct access to God the Father. We can bring all of our requests directly to him. What a blessing that is. But how often, Paul brings up how often we don't necessarily know what to pray for. we kind of groan inside and we sigh. There are things that go on in our life and we don't even know what we should ask for from God. But at that moment, God the Holy Spirit goes down in and searches our hearts, and he is well in tune and perfectly in line with the will of God the Father in heaven. My mother had juvenile diabetes, diagnosed when she was 19, and she would often start to feel the effects of an imbalance of sugar and insulin in her bloodstream. And there were times when she would start to get groggy and almost seemingly drunk because she wasn't even aware of the imbalance that was going on inside of her. And my dad, I remember as a kid, there were times when my dad would just look at her and he would say from her across the room, "Gudrun, you need to take some sugar." And he just could tune in on this. And I used to say to him, "How do you know? How could you know?" And she hadn't necessarily said anything. And he would often say, "I could just look in her eyes and I could see." His love for her and his concern for her was able to detect something that she needed, even that she herself was unaware of. Parents do this with little children all the time. A mother with a little three-year-old boy who's having problems and he doesn't even know what it is. He might think that he needs to eat something and she knows it's another problem. She's much wiser. And so she overrides his request because she is so well in tune with what is best for her little child. Use that, as, if you will, as a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always knows you and me intimately inside and what's best for us far better than we would ever know to make our request to God. Paul says, "The Spirit helps in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for." So there are times in life when we just face challenges and we feel frustrations, or there's pressure on us, or maybe we're going through just a really bad cycle of difficulty in our lives, and there's just a sense of being weighed down by this fallen, sinful world, and we don't even know how or what to ask of God. And even at those moments, God the Holy Spirit, even when you're at your lowest point, God the Holy Spirit, because of the faith he's created in your heart, knows exactly what to speak for you and bring that all the way up to the throne of the Father in heaven. And he intercedes for us. Just think what a gift that is. Even when we're not even aware it's going on, that God the Holy Spirit, in the middle of our despair, in the middle of the things that frustrate us the most in life, God the Holy Spirit is constantly bringing these requests to God. One commentator said, "It's like the arteries and the heart in your body. It's just a constant churning that's going on, even when we don't think about it." Notice in this text how all three persons of the Trinity, to some extent, are involved here. God's love is not only from his Son, who came to pay for your sins and to give you his holiness and righteousness so you could go to heaven, but it's also from the Father and the Holy Spirit himself. The same grace is from all three persons of the Trinity. They all three have the same desire to get you to heaven. They all have the same wonderful plan and the same fantastic operation to make this happen. And God will take the requests that we don't even know what to ask for and make them more grand. Martin Luther had a great illustration with this. Let me read it to you. He says, "It's as if a person should write his father asking for silver, but the father is disposed to give him 1,000 pieces of gold. The father throws away the letter and disregards it. And when the son learns of this and realizes that the silver is not coming to him as he requested, he's made sad." But the point is that the father has a much greater gift that he's waiting to give the son. So that's how it may be with us sometimes when we make requests to God about things in our lives. Maybe we think we know the best way for God to answer this prayer of ours. But he always has something bigger and more grand and more wonderful and blessed for you in your future. And we especially know that through the everlasting home he's prepared for us through the work of Christ and the faith he's put in your heart to get there. And so all in keeping with this wonderful, enormous divine plan for us, God invites us to cherish and treasure and utilize this tremendous gift of prayer. Paul said this to the Ephesians. I want to close with this verse. He wrote to the Ephesians, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work with us, thanks be to God for that gift. Amen." Please rise. And we pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for giving us the gift of prayer. We thank you for the work of your Son who has earned this for us by his death on the cross. We thank you also for sending your Holy Spirit into our hearts through baptism and your word to create faith in this Savior. Churn up in our hearts a desire to truly utilize this wonderful gift and help us always to pray in line with your will, knowing that you always have what is best for us, waiting for us in our eternal home. We ask this all in Christ's saving name. Amen.